here we go.
They call themselves the
Heroes Asylum.
Uno Mons.
Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, episode 148, by the way. I got
you got the counts right? You sure?
Look at the episodes we've uploaded, folks. We are finally online. Obviously, if you're hearing us, you know we're back online. But yeah, I went back and I was like, you know what? I'm going to put these out like we used to, and put the numbers on it. So
me off. We had titles in the first couple ones, and then I saw 148. I'm like, oh, we're back to doing that again.
Yeah. So, but guys, welcome. We are back, man. How you doing, man? It's been a week since I saw you. You showed up for my little birthday shindig.
Yeah, happy birthday again, by the way. Had a great time at the Winchester. It was fun. You had more fun. Went to the Burlesque Star Wars show. That was interesting.
If anybody out there is interested, look up Empire Strips Back. It is a Star Wars themed burlesque show. It is everything you could think it is and more. It's so much fun. Just so much fun.
I was fascinated when I guess one of the people who went with you came up. I think it was you actually. Were you telling me about the Jabba the Hutt song?
Oh yeah, he did Biggie.
I went on stage.
Yep.
He's doing Biggie Smalls. I was like, all you had to say was Biggie. And Jabba the Hutt doing it. Now I want to see it. Like, screw everything, like all the sexy stuff. That's awesome. But like that, okay.
Well, it wasn't burlesque, so I mean they were going a little fast dancing, but there were a couple like very like seductive dances. There's one dance with two Twi'leks, like two girls dancing, and like they're basically mirroring each other in their movements. Ooh. And then probably one of my favorite ones was one with a Jedi, and it was just them doing a dance with a lightsaber, and nothing seen there. That was like a leg would pop out, like a leg would pop out or something. But like it was just like amazing. And then there's a slight twist towards the end during their little dance. But yeah, if anybody gets a chance, go check them out. They're well worth it.
Spoilers. Anakin Skywalker becomes Darth Vader. Just
and he's Luke's daddy for other reasons.
Did you ever see the, it was the ending cutscene to, I think it was a PlayStation 3 game or 2 of Revenge of the Sith?
No.
I mean,
well, I did play the game, but I don't remember an end cutscene.
So there's this ending that actually, because I guess you can play either as Anakin or Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one I played as Anakin, and he beats Obi-Wan. It changes everything. So the ending is him. Basically, he goes, he rescues Padme, he kills the Emperor, and then he just leaves.
Nice.
Like, dude, that would have been a really dark ending. I mean,
it would have been, but we wouldn't have, it couldn't have led into the original trilogy. So
yeah, no, I mean, we really should one night talk about weird Star Wars games, video games endings. Oh, I mean, there's a lot, like just bizarre ones. Like that's just one of them. I haven't touched the cusp. Like we could go to the Force Unleashed.
Yeah,
some of those batshit crazy endings. Like, and you know this shit is not canon because there's no way a character like Starkiller would ever be around. He would murder everybody. He was way too OP. I talked to a sweaty about that. He's like, yeah, no way. He's too overpowerful.
Those were good. Those were good games though. The Force Unleashed.
Yeah, those are fun. I heard Outlaws is pretty good. Did you play Outlaws?
Yeah, I was playing Outlaw. Yep, for a little bit, and then my Red Dead Redemption addiction came back, so I had to switch up. Sorry, there was something about Outlaws that like it's in a like the first one of the first plans you go to is very mountainy and very like reminded me of the desert, and I'm like crap, there it is, that vein started itching again, so I had to go back and revisit Arthur and the gang.
Hey, look, you get into those moods where you just got to play a game. Like for me, it's like God of War, like God of War 3. I'll always pop on because I saw it for $20 on my PlayStation Network. I'm like, ooh, I feel like God of War. And I own it on my PS3, and I don't know why I'm buying it again, but it's for the 5. Like I bought it. I was like, oh, I know how to beat the game, but that's not the point. It's just like going through that whole experience, going through Greece and fighting all those gods. Just so dope. But anyway, we're way off track.
Yes, we are. We got way off track, but it's okay. So this week, or this month, sorry, like last month we did the Born Again and Rebirth and Reborn and whatever whatever you wanted to say. This month, we're sort of going back to what Jeff and I were doing about a year, 2 years ago. We're revisiting some horror vibes. This week, we are doing horror television series. what we feel are some of the best horror television series. The week after that, I think we were going to do like the best villain. Then we're going to go to the movies and we're going to kind of break off. We are planning on trying to do a watch along with the horrors to kind of go back to, like I said, what we used to do. Because that was the year I tapped out. We were in the mix of the year of fear.
The year of fear, which we got halfway through, yep. Actually.
And if you guys are interested in any of them, go check out BAM. You'll find that.
Definitely up in the archives. Like, I think you could honestly tell towards the end when I was getting a little tired.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? I need a break. But yeah. Anyway, check those out if you need for a giggle or a laugh. But let's go. Disclaimer before we go on.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, we both agreed on something. Go ahead.
So I don't want to take Captain Mike's thunder, but we did talk about this. Supernatural is not included on any of our lists.
Because it's number one no matter what, right?
Because it's
for both of us.
Yes, that's basically what we're trying to say. Supernatural is number one for both of us.
Yeah. Yeah,
instead of us, we would sit here like for probably 3 hours talking about Supernatural, breaking it down. But I do promise, and Mike, I've talked to Mike about this, we will do a future episode on just Supernatural.
Well, if you go into the archives, we've actually already visited the Supernatural world.
Sure. Yes, but I'm talking like a full-on, the series is now over.
Yeah.
So we basically go through like just everything we love.
It's not over for me, by the way, just so you know. I've never watched the final episode.
That's the problem.
I just will not. I will not watch the final episode.
Maybe we should do one night. Instead of a watch-along to a movie, we watched along the Supernatural last episode with Captain Mike.
Oh, again, because the series is still going in my head. It's still, the boys are still out there.
Look, I still love the series no matter what. There were some elements of the Winchesters I kind of dug, so they made it stupid multiversey nonsense. But so Supernatural is not on the list. We'll do a future episode with that in the coming months, and we'll let you know about that. So, Mike, with that, why don't you go first?
All right, so horror series. I have to go to somewhat of my roots in the horror genre. For me, it was Werewolf. If I don't know if anybody remembers Werewolf. 1987 to 1988. Very short, one season. It was actually on the Fox lineup for their inaugural year. So this is one of the original Fox television series. When they first rolled out Fox, there was no Fox network back when Jeff and I were growing up. But when originally rolled out, because I think you had Married with Children, there was another show, and then Werewolf was...
Tracy Ullman show was on.
Oh, yeah, Tracy Ullman. I think were the Simpsons, right? I don't know if the Simpsons were inaugural or like a year or two later.
The Simpsons were like, I think it was 2 years after Tracy Ullman, because that's where the Simpsons came from, the Tracy Ullman show. So,
but basically, Werewolf is just following a college student. He gets attacked by a werewolf. Him and his roommate get attacked by a werewolf. His roommate dies. He has to learn how to deal with it. Probably one of the cool things about it was like his... just before his change, he'd get like a pentagram bleeding, like almost a sort of stigmata, but for evil. and basically it was just that, him trying to figure out what's going on. The kids, the guy, his roommates, I think it's his uncle, I believe. He's a hunter, and he starts hunting down this werewolf. So there's this long story going on as the main character, played by John York, by the way, he is actually searching for the head of the bloodline. So if you kill your master werewolf, the curse is over.
Nice. I remember the creature effects for that show were really kind of ahead of its time.
They were, they were really
close to American Werewolf in London type thing. And they made the werewolves like today. They're like, I mean, except for the last movie, which I like, which was Werewolves. By the way, not a sequel, which Captain Mike did not like. But those creature effects were kind of similar. And what's funny, when I was watching Werewolves, it kind of reminded me of this show because I liked that design of that werewolf. It just looked really dope, really terrifying with those eyes, the claws. And it was a pretty good show, too, for a while. So it's just sad, like, back then it didn't have an audience.
Yeah, it really didn't, yeah.
Ahead of its time. I think if it came out today, it would probably go 5 seasons.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, one of the things I remember is we brought our television out to our patio. I had like this monster of a TV. When I say monster, I don't mean like a big screen. It was massive back then. Our TVs had backs back then, and so
heavy as hell too.
Yeah, so I would actually brought that out and put it out on the back patio. I think my parents were watching something and they're like, "No, we don't want to watch that." I'm like, "Well, fine, I'm taking the TV and I'm gonna go." I'm gonna go watch this over here. So, yeah, that's like something that sticks out for me, is one of those great memories.
Yeah, good show too. Really good show. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Okay, I guess I'm gonna go. My first one, and like I said, it was a hard list to make, but went kind of deep. And this is one of my favorite shows. It was only on for 4 seasons, but it kind of went through the comic book and out. That's freaking Preacher. Preacher was a really good show. Sorry, I thought you were giving me the metal
signs. No, I was giving you the metal signs. I was throwing up the devil horns for that one.
Fucking love Preacher. Dominic Cooper's in it. If you know a story about Jesse Cutler, basically he gets a thing called The Voice, which is like a demon angel kind of hybrid. And he goes along with his girlfriend Tulip. There's a vampire dude. The Saint of All Killers, which was freaking awesome on that show. The Devil, I mean, Arseface. Just a great show. If you read the comic was great. It had an ending. So what I kind of liked about it, 4 seasons and they were done. They told their story. There was no sequels to anything. But I love that show. And that's from Seth Rogen, too. He produced that show with one of his buddies. And he's done a couple things. He does The Boys as well. But I freaking love that show. Love the comic. It was even better.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I absolutely love it. When they went on, they put Arseface on there for the first time. I think I freaking lost it. I was like, oh my God, they actually did it.
Actually have the balls to do it and show the episode how it happened. I'm like, God damn, we're doing this? Like, yes. But and a great adaptation as well. They changed a couple of things here and there, but it was pretty spot on.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty close.
There was no dips, and like I said, they told a story, and that was pretty much it. But if you haven't watched it, only 4 seasons. I think it was 8 episodes per season, but really good.
And that was on AMC, right? I think if I remember correctly. I think that rolled out like right when they were just starting to like latch into the comic books. I think right as Walking Dead came out as well. I think that was like part of that.
I believe that was part of that world. I mean, it could be wrong, but So Preacher, check it out.
I'm going to go more contemporary. Actually, I started old. I'm going to come back. You and I talked about this, and you said you hadn't watched the series yet. But Evil, it's a supernatural drama. I guess a lot of mine are sort of like on the borderline of horror to supernatural and gothic in a way. But this, for certain people, if you're not... There are certain moments in this show that if you have a certain fear or have had an experience, this is horror for you. But basically, it follows a forensic psychiatrist, Dr. Kristen Bouchard, and there's also a Catholic seminary. He's not a priest, but his seminary. And they also have a skeptical technological contractor who kind of goes along with them. So it's 3 people. So imagine like Mulder and Scully going together. And then just having like a third person to kind of like also like say, hey, well, you know what, I'm scanning this area and I'm getting something, or hey, you know what, I'm not. We're wasting our time. Mm-hmm. But all 3 are hired on to just by the Catholic Church to investigate certain supernatural events. And the one of the scenes I talked about where I was kind of like referencing was there's a moment where she literally has a sleep paralysis demon on her chest. And she wakes up and can't move, and then just her and the demon converse. And she's a skeptic. She's a scientist. And she's like, no, this is just a dream. I'm having sleep paralysis. And like he's like literally just like bantering back and forth, like as if he was a dude off the street. You know, and he proves to her that nope, he's real. And but it's really great. And then you come to find out there's another doctor who's sort of against her and tries to like reverse a lot of her stuff. Who's got his own dark and twisted like journey. It's a little sexual tension. I'm not going to, hide that from between the doctor and the seminary guy, David.
Yeah, so. It's Michael Coulter, man. That's a handsome looking dude.
Oh yeah. Man. Yeah. No, I mean, he can't.
No role model, but like, he's a handsome dude. Like,
and if anybody's familiar with Michael Emerson, he plays the other doctor who's like against him, and he's just got a great creepy vibe. And then of course they get
a great actor.
Yeah, there's a few scenes where or a couple of episodes where a nun kind of joins them, and she's like, no, I know the evil's out there. I see it all the time. I see demons in here right now. I mean, it just, she's like a straightforward, just like awesome. So if anybody's never seen that, I think they're wrapping up finally. I think they're on season 5, and I think this is their last season, but they took a little break, I think, during COVID. Because, there was it was like a year and a half or so, we didn't get anything. I'm like, oh, what'd they do? Just end it? And no, they came back. But really, really good.
You're like the second person Melissa told me about it. Now you told me about it. So
and I good. Watched you would episodes. Like that.
I just never finished. I watched like the first 5 episodes. It was good. I don't think it kind of got to where I was hoping it would get. I mean, I'm sure it's going to get there. But I'm like, this is not bad. This is not horrible. We didn't get to like the demon things yet. But there's like things happening. So a decent habit hasn't popped up yet. Like I said, I'm on the first 5 episodes of season 1. So I'll watch it. I will watch it. You know I will. It just takes me a while to watch things that people are watching because I don't like to be that guy.
Well, honestly, I would have to say that that cannot be your excuse on this one. This cannot be your Game of Thrones because this is not a big series. You know, you literally just said you had 2 people tell you about it. And so it's not like it's and we're the 2 people that told you to watch Game of Thrones, too, by the way.
That is true. That is true. I finally broke down and I watched it. I actually did a whole entire podcast on it. So check it out. It's on the archives. I forgot what it's called. Game of Thrones or something. Baptism of Thrones. That's it. Baptism of Thrones. Check it out. For Game of Thrones sweating.
All right. So what you got for your second?
Dude, I got a show that when I say this, you're going to give me the metal sign again. It was on Fox TV for like, I think 3 or 4 seasons. I fucking love this show. It had everything that I want in a horror-type supernatural TV show. And that's freaking Sleepy Hollow. Sleepy Hollow was freaking dope. If you're, like, we talked about not including supernatural in this list. This was, like, the next best thing for me because it's very supernatural-esque. A lot of these shows that I have on my list have a lot of supernatural vibes. Explains a lot. I can't include supernatural, so I include shows that are, you know, semi-like them. And Sleepy Hollow was like that. The inclusion of the horseman being the headless horseman was a great idea. You introduce heaven and hell. There's like a demon Moloch who's like controlling the horsemen who are out there during the Revolutionary War, making Ichabod Crane kind of like a hero type guy, which I never saw coming, and him mating with a witch. And basically Moloch it's freaking nuts, but it's really good. Ichabod Crane is basically teaming with this sheriff from the town. Clancy Brown's in episode 1 before they kill him. Like literally. It's so good. Sadly, I think when the detective character kind of left after season 4, the show kind of dipped. And then they brought somebody else and was like her sister, and he became like a legalized citizen. It got a little dumb after that. But like the first 3 or 4 seasons of Sleepy Hollow are really good, and I would definitely check it out.
I agree with you. Yeah, that was a show. If anybody knows my history, I had some health issues for a few years back, and I couldn't work for about a month, and that was my lifeline, actually, with Sleepy Hollow. My family's from Tarrytown, which is technically Sleepy Hollow in New York, so I had a connection with that, and just
know that.
Yeah, yeah, it's
means a lot.
So it kind of like Washington Irving means a lot to me, and what I loved about Sleepy Hollow that most people like kind of brush over is, yes, it was written by Washington Irving, but if you the first episode was literally Rip Van Winkle story. He comes back. That was also written by Washington Irving. So a lot of like Washington Irving nods throughout it. And then it doesn't really take place in Sleepy Hollow. Like there's a few spots like the church at the beginning. And like, I think like first few episodes were filmed there, but yeah, now if anybody ever has a chance to go check out Tarrytown, it's a nice little village just north of New York City. And it's just gorgeous there. But yeah, again, like I said, for me, and again, another one that like fits in with something important in my life, and that Sleepy Hollow helped me get through that thing.
I remember watching Sleepy Hollow when I was going to California. I didn't have a job at the time, and I was going to go see my brother. Spent a week out there, and that's all I watched in the plane. Actually, no, I watched the first episode because it was like the premiere, and they kept playing that over and over. I think it was the first 2 episodes they kept playing over and over again. And I was like, damn, this is good. And so when I got back, of course, I continued. And I've have since. And one other thing about the show that I really enjoyed, and I'm sure you'll caught up to it, is the way they kind of wove in American history with supernatural horror. Like George Washington, he knew about the supernatural, and he was like, yeah, we just got to keep this under wraps. the mix in with like Martha Washington, George Washington, all like historical figures involved in this somehow. And I always thought that's clever. You can and you see like these historical figures going back and forth. That's one of the elements I really liked about this show.
Yep, and so that would be our first repeat, by the way.
Oh, is it? Ah,
yeah. I knew we were going to get to one eventually, but
I lost the bet because I was going to say there's no way we're going to have the same.
Like, yeah, that was the one I thought was we might have. There's another one I think we might have, but we'll wait to that one. So my turn, and sure. I got to tell you, if anybody's listened to us before, you guys know I'm a reader. I love reading. And this was probably one of my favorite series of novels within like 90s to early 2000s. Jeff knows this about me. I'm a huge vampire fan. Anything vampire is just awesome. Oh, yeah. But if nobody's ever read, but you can watch, and it's kind of close, is The Strain.
I don't have that one on my list, but I have seen it. I just never saw the final season.
Oh,
it's a great show.
Yo, great. I mean, just great, great series. And this is one of those series that you're like, you know what? I like what they're doing, and they're just telling a story, and they're in and out in four seasons. You know, the book's only three seasons, but they sort of like branched out, changed up a couple of little things. But I love that. You and I have talked about years ago, where, you know, we talked about like Battlestar Galactica, the reimagining, how it was set up. They wrote a beginning and an end and just had to fill in to get to the end. And they knew, hey, we're only going this long. And that's series like that need to happen more often. Hey, we're just here for this time. We got a story to tell, and we're not going to, you know, beat you to death with monsters of the week or, you know, things like that. But yeah, if nobody's seen Strain, it's a really good vampire take. And it just basically, this old world vampire tries to take over New York, and then eventually he wants to take over the world. But it starts with New York, and then you have the humans trying to fight him, and then you also have some other old world vampires. And what's probably one of the coolest concepts of this is the vampires, their origin story isn't a Dracula or an Akasha or anything of that nature. They are literally made from pieces of the Archangel Gabriel.
Yeah, I thought that was really.
I was like, that's an awesome take.
And the way they showed them too, like, I think there's like particular scenes, like I think where that you find like the original seven, like the Masters. He was like just one of them.
Yeah.
But apparently he went rogue, and the other six are like there, and they hire like this other dude who looked like a better version of Blade I forget, he was like a hunter.
Yeah, he was a hunter. They didn't hire him. He was made that way. His mother.
He was freaking badass. Like badass. And I love the whole council aspect, the weird way the vampires turn with that thing in the eyeball. I mean, just a lot of clever things in this show. A lot of clever things. And you see the deterioration. Like, I think the mother in the show, she becomes a vampire, but like eventually as the seasons go along, she gets more acclimated and more kind of like human, I guess.
Right.
So, which is kind of cool. You saw that evolution. She started off like really ugly and then went back to human, which I always thought was fascinating. Great show.
Yep.
And I never saw the final season, man.
Oh, really?
And
if anybody's a fan of Guillermo del Toro, he is one of the original authors. Him and a guy named Chuck Hogan wrote the original book. So when it got moved over, he was part of it. He actually, since he's a filmmaker himself, was part of, you know, getting the show out and everything like that. But yeah, just check it out. I want to say that was FX, I believe. So if anybody's got, you know, a way to rewatching that.
Yeah. Great show. I got to do a rewatch on that. Sorry, I was watching my next subject line, so I had to put you down for a second. But yeah, great show. Watch it straight. I need to watch the final season, so I'll do that. Speaking of Guillermo del Toro, I think you read my mind, because my next series is from Guillermo del Toro. It was on Netflix. It got a season. I hope it gets another season. Cabinet of Curiosities.
Not sure if you watched it. Yeah, no, I never did watch that, no.
If you haven't got a chance, watch it. It's freaking creepy as hell. The music is creepy as hell. The episodes are creepy as hell. There's one episode in particular that has Peter Weller in it, you know, RoboCop?
Yeah.
It's called The Autopsy. I couldn't sleep after watching this episode. I was like, because like it begins, like the music in the show is really big. It's a character in the show. This episode is no truer than that. The music begins one way, ends another way, which is going along with the episode. And the ending is just like, what is that? If you haven't watched it, and there's a lot of scary parts. If I couldn't sleep, it freaked me out. So don't watch it with the lights off. That's all I'll recommend. You might get a dog, a cat, or something. Cuddle with something. It's freaky. Cabinet of Curiosities.
Cabinet of Curiosities. And where did you watch that at?
Netflix.
Netflix? Okay. I got my Netflix going again, so I'll have to
check it out.
Check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need some good nightmare material.
That's one. Just watch The Autopsy. That's all you got to do. So what you got there, sir?
My next one isn't so much horror, but it is based in a horror world. Did you ever watch Castle Rock?
I think I watched one episode of Castle Rock.
And basically what it is, it takes place in Stephen King's made-up town of Castle Rock. And it's basically it's a supernatural horror series. Mm. And it I mean, some of the actors that were in it, or you had Andrea Holland, Melanie Lynskey, you had Bill Skarsgård, you had Jane Levy, you had some Sissy Spacek was in it. So you had a lot of like the same like actors that acted in Stephen King movies revisited, and but it took place in the town where all of this stuff happened. They make references to Cujo. They make references to Shawshank Redemption because the prison's not that far away. You know, this is basically somebody was trying to make a King verse to kind of show, you know, that they're all really connected. Because that's it. When he writes this.
I remember that. It wasn't that the show where they showed like Cujo walking down the street, like somebody was walking like a St. Bernard?
Yeah.
That was it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I don't. That's another one which I started, didn't go all the way through. I thought it was an interesting idea, like you said, of all the King novels being involved in one town. I was like, oh, this is interesting. I might have to watch it. I didn't finish it. Sure, you did. If you love it
again, you know, well, they didn't finish it. Hulu like pulled the plug. I think it ran. I think it was on 2018 until in 2020, they pulled the plug November 2020. But again, we're looking at COVID, so it could have been something of that long around that. You know, lane that kind of like stopped it. Even Tim Robbins was in it. I mean, so like the actors came back, but they didn't play their characters, but they were involved in this town that was basically, like I said, you know, there's the multiverse, you know, of all the Stephen King was probably one of the originators for multiverses. When you look at his novels are all intertwined. And probably one of the biggest threads is probably one of his worst movies, The Dark Tower. That book series is a thread that interweaves through everything, because in that book series, his characters come back. You see it, or the original version of it. You see like the preacher from Salem's Lot. You see a lot of those characters that they're out there, but the Dark Tower series kind of like connects them. But again, don't watch the movie. I was really hoping for the movie to be something.
I liked Matthew McConaughey in that movie. I thought he was pretty good.
The rest of it was just,
it felt just like wrong.
Yeah. there were wrong parts in there.
There was a lot of like this. I didn't read the whole book, but I heard it was like a really good
book. Oh no, it's not a book. It's a series of books. It's probably 7 books long. And then if you don't count the other things like the Stand, or not the Stand. Oh yeah. No, the Stand was part of the universe. The Salem's Lot was part of it. Like when you read those books, you're not just reading like the 7 of that series. You have to pull in the other ones that connect with it. Cause again, like I said, a lot of the characters revisit.
They're the same.
But yeah, but you know, Castle Rock was great. The one reason why I started watching it was, I wish I could remember his name. Mark used to do podcasts with Kevin Smith. He was a writer,
Bernardin, right?
Yeah,
Mark Bernard.
Yeah, that's what I kept thinking about. I was like, is Bernardin right? But he was one of the writers for that, I think, on the first season.
I think he did Treadstone too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which I watched on USA Network. That's like an offshoot of the Bourne type of movies, which I thought was really good too. I was very interested. I was like, oh, I didn't know I would like Treadstone. But so, yeah, I will definitely have to check this one out, sir. Castle Rock. So I got one, and it's probably an underrated one. If you have it on your list, I'd kind of be kind of shocked. This was the first BBC series, which became a sci-fi series, because I watched a lot of those sci-fi series were really good, and they did a Dune movie, which was really good too. You guys got to check that out. That's called Being Human, with Sam Worthington and Sam Witwer as a werewolf and a vampire living together, getting into shenanigans. It's more comedy, but it doesn't have a lot of drama in it too.
Wasn't there a third person? Wasn't there like a girl?
She was like a witch or something,
okay.
I believe.
Okay.
So, it also has a supernatural connection too, because Mark Pellegrino was on that show too. He was basically Sam Witwer's like a master vampire. He made him, and he shows up, and he's really good in it. But I think it ran for like 5 or 6 seasons. Like I said, there's a BBC version, which I've never seen. I only watched the sci-fi version, the sci-fi channel version, which was really good. But that's Being Human. Not sure if you've seen it, but do check it out.
It was on my radar. It's one of those ones. I was like, man, I like really want to get into this, but it went on so long that I'm like, I don't know if I want to attempt it. I know it's not a lot. It's not like trying to, you know, watch Supernatural.
No,
but it's still, but I'm looking at it, I was like, man, do I want to join that journey knowing it ended? And like, you know, that I've run into that with a lot of series where I'm like, man, I want to join this. I want to be there and take this journey like everybody else did. But then I'm like, I hear it, the ending was bad, or, you know, the network pulled the plug and there is no ending. So I'm like, it seems like that was one of those ones. I'm like, maybe not.
There was a lot of shows like that, especially in sci-fi. Like, wait a minute. Like, yeah. What was one show they did? Was based on Legion. I think it was called Dominion.
Yeah, Dominion.
They had
a
sci-fi network, which I really liked for the first couple of seasons. And then, like, the ending of season 2 was going to lead to something bigger. I was like, oh, we're gone. Like,
yeah.
Wait,
yeah,
no.
Yeah. Yeah. I love sci-fi for doing certain things, you know, taking the risk and doing certain things. But then, like, they just get cold feet and they're like, oh, we're out.
Yeah, but and they do it at the wrong time. Like when it gets really good, like, wait a minute. No. Can you do it after the next season?
That's why I have hope for Apple, because Apple's sort of doing the same thing, but they're not pulling the plugs. They're like, for anything sci-fi or fantasy related lately, Apple TV seems to just like know what they're doing, and I'm on board with everything they're doing.
I don't think they made a bad show.
Not yet, no. Not that I've found.
Monarch was good.
Yeah.
Monarch was really good. Mm-hmm. If you watch Silo, Silo's really good. Actually, they don't have anything bad. Even their comedy shows are pretty good. So, I agree with Jones. Definitely check out the Apple Network if you have it. If you don't, they have nothing but good shows on it. Severance, which I just started.
Yeah.
Really weird. Very slow. But I heard it's great. So, I'll let you know when I find it.
All right, so mine, next one, sort of a twofer.
Twofer, you say?
Because it's linked. We're talking about the Immortal Universe.
Oh, you're going, okay.
Interview with the Vampire and Mayfair Witches, which is linked in the same world. There's actually a character that meets up with one of the Mayfair witches, not the Mayfair witches, but one of the main characters from the Mayfair series. They meet up in the Mayfair series. They meet Lestat's fledgling. So I was not a fan at first of the Mayfair witches. Jeff will attest I went on with the ride and I just like, I pulled a cord. Yeah.
That is right. He would argue with me. And I'll tell him like, man, this is really good. And he was like, no, it's not part of the book. They're ruining it. And it was like, I've seen him angry before. He's really bad.
Again, I'm an Anne Rice fan. That burned me. I was okay with the changes. And like, well, I wasn't okay with the changes of the Interview with Vampire, like the time frame, the time change. I'm like, why do we need that? I don't understand why we need to move that far into the 1900s. Because to me, part of their story was what they were doing in the 1800s. And, you know, so I get that. Because, you know, again, one of the cool things, you know, was, you know, Louis and Lestat were hundreds of years old. Now they're only 100 years old, maybe, or at least Louis is. But I got past that. I was like, okay, I see what they're doing. I like what they're doing. You know, the actress that played Claudia, I was like, why is she so much older? But again, I went past all of that. I had no issues with the what the people call the queer element in it, because that was in the books. I mean, they're guys that are in love. So get that.
It didn't bug me at all. It never bugged me. Yeah, did we bring up, like, it was it episode 7 of season 2 where I think Lestat or Louis discovers that, like, Lestat really loved him, like, because this actually what had happened. And I was like, that's a beautiful moment. Like, it was a nice love story. Mm-hmm. I think you even said that. So, yeah, like, the queer tones of it never bugged me at all. Actually, I thought it was kind of sweet. Like, you could tell they genuinely cared about each other. And I was like, okay, this is fine.
But with Mayfair, like, there was a lot of changes. Characters got, like, dumbed down to one character, or just there were certain things. And I think with the one thing that bugged the living hell out of me is Interview with a Vampire, which is a pretty short book, got 2 seasons. And Mayfair Witches, the first book of that, got 1 season. And I'm like, that book is like a monster of a book. there was a story of, like, one of my high school girlfriend, her mom and I both liked Anne Rice, so we were reading, sort of like I had our own little book club. It's just me and her, but we were reading, was it Lasher, I believe, is the second book in the series, and, like, she got so mad she threw the book away, because we get to the end, and, like, there's no ending, there's no wrap-up to the story, and she's like, I'm done after 1,000 pages of reading, and I got nowhere. Yeah, she was like... But no, those together, and of course they are making one of the coolest ones. There's no book about it, but the Talamasca is the next series that they're rolling out about the watchers of the vampires and the witches. And I don't know if they'll visit the werewolves. Anne Rice did have a werewolf book, but they're, and then the ghosts. And so I love the fact that, like, Talamasca was never truly delved into too deeply. In the book series, there was never a Talamasca book. It was like you might get a paragraph or two here and there scattered around, you know. And then even on one of her other books that was just sort of like after she got done with the main story of Lestat and Louis and the Queen, she did a few little new tales of the vampires, and it would visit, like, some of the sub-characters. And in one of the sub-characters, Pandora, probably one of my favorite books in the series, she visits... meets with the originators of the Talamasca. So, again, just everything they're doing is, I don't want to call it horror, but there are horror elements. It's supernatural and gothic in a way. So, but yeah, those kind of lumped together.
Yeah, you're fine. It fits in the world. Well done. I like both of those shows. I didn't have them on my list because I thought you would have them. So, that's one of the ones I'm like, he's going to put this down. I'll give him that.
Actually, originally I wasn't. That was one of my last minute ads. I'm like, I was like, man, I don't. I got to have this in here.
Yeah, you need it in there, and you got both of them in there too. So
it's they start every episode with Immortal Universe. So
they're going to expand. It's all about the having a multiverse or a series like the MCU has. Everybody wants one. This one didn't get one, though, sadly. It was only on for 1 season, which is a real bummer, because I was late in the train on this one. I saw, like, the commercials to it, never saw. I was like, what is it? And then I actually saw it. It was really good. Midnight in Texas. It was on for 1 season on NBC. Basically, it's a dude whose grandfather dies. The ghost of the grandfather tells the grandson, like, hey, you got to go to this town in Texas called Midnight. He goes to this town. And let's just say a lot of supernatural stuff is there, like angels, demons, werewolves, vampires, you name it. And they're all based in this little town, almost like the town's like a hellmouth or something like that. They don't go into it, but... And this kid, the grandson, he's involved in it somehow. And he has to go through all these creatures. It's really good. It's too bad I didn't get another season. Kind of wanted to see where they were going. Again, very supernatural-esque. But definitely Midnight in Texas.
Very good. All right, my last one. Then you'll get one more. I have to go with this one because it sort of introduced me a little bit, but also like a whole nother generation of young people wanting to read, but got involved in wanting to read horror. And it continued, like, a lot of even authors nowadays grew up on these books. And we just had a movie recently, Goosebumps.
Yeah.
It was a children's horror anthology. And I'm a huge, Jeff and I both know we both love anthologies. We're like massive anthology fans. But yeah, I mean, just the R.L. Stine book series, it like broke people in to the horror genre, sort of like eased them in, like baby steps. I remember hearing an interview, I think it was Stephen King was talking about it, how R.L. Stine and him met. And like R.L. Stine says, I introduced them to the world. You break them. So, he is the gateway to a great love of horror and horror movies and horror books that I think is a great thing for children to read and get them hooked on just reading in general, but also, if you are a cool parent like my mom was.
Terrifying episodes too.
Oh, scary. Terrifying. I think, well, like I was saying, the movie just came out, I think with David Schwimmer. I think it just came out like earlier this year or late last year of another Goosebumps movie.
Gotta check those. Like I said, the episodes are freaky, especially they have ones with dolls and they look like mad, like they have demons on there. It might be made for kids, but there's some scary stuff.
Again, like I said, he's the gateway. He's the gateway drug to darker more twisted.
Yeah, if you can get by that, then the whole world of horror is going to open up to you.
Any adult I ever meet that says that, that they grew up on R.L. Stine, they're instant friends of mine. So
you'll be on my friends list. You make the list if you like. If you're into Goosebumps, you don't have to be a kid to like Goosebumps. But excellent choice. I didn't even think of Goosebumps. I should have thought of that. I guess I got my last one. I love classic monsters, werewolves, vampires, the mummy, and all that. I even like what they tried to do with the Dark Universe, even though it kind of failed. But I think one show on here, and it was a hard one to pick because I had like six of these things left. I could have picked like anything, but I picked this one because it's literally one of my favorites, and that's Penny Dreadful, which was on from HBO for like four seasons.
Was that HBO? I thought that was Netflix.
Was it Netflix? No, I think it was HBO. I think it was HBO Max, whatever it's called. Four seasons, and like I said, if you love any of those classical monsters, they make it in that era, that Victorian area.
Yep.
But there's a lot more to it. It makes in a little bit of science, a lot more lore. Like Frankenstein is an actual character, and if you read the original novel with Frankenstein in it, he's like that. That's basically who he is. He doesn't be like that. He's very articulate. Like he has thought. He can express, he can emote, all that stuff. He's not dumb. Every character on the show is just well written. Even like in the final season when they introduce Dracula, then they tease him throughout the first four seasons. And you find out where he's from, like his origin changed. He was like the brother of Lucifer. He was like a fallen angel. And Lucifer was afraid of him, which I found, this is really kind of cool. And then the way they made him in the last season, Dr. Light, he was Dracula. Spoiler, if you do watch it. And then you had one of the most beautiful women on there. Eva Green is on there. She's like the medium. Josh Hartnett is on there. Freaking James Bond, Timothy Dalton's on there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it goes on and on and on. They made a another series afterwards, like Penny Dreadful Hollywood, which was
I think there's a couple. I think there's another one, too. I think there's like two after that because I saw another one for another Penny Dreadful one. But yeah, I sort of watched that again. It was one of those ones that I was enjoying, but something else came up. Like I think I was using that as sort of like a palate cleanser before a new series came up for me. So, I was definitely enjoyed it. And I liked the twists of taking the classic characters and saying, okay, let's place them into like a real world and go from there and see how they are. And it was great, yeah.
And the era they're into, which is like that Victorian type of era, it's kind of more horrifying, like more of a dark palette type colors. It's not very bright. Everything is kind of like just downtrodden. And everybody was well written, too. Everybody. Like, there was not a weak character in that show. I can't even think of one.
No, I may either.
Like, supporting characters all good, main characters all good. I don't think it was really more of a... I guess you could say Eva Green was the main character in a way. But, then you had Timothy Dalton as well, Josh Hartnett, who actually got a comeback from this series, I believe. Mm-hmm.
I think that helped his comeback, yeah.
So, and Timothy Dalton in there as, I think he was kind of like, he was sort of like the Van Helsing character. They never said it, but I believe he was more Van Helsing. Josh Hartnett was like the werewolf and his origin coming from like Indian mythos. You were telling me about this novel before we talked about the Indian vampire. always loved that idea. Like, oh yeah, he came from like an Indian tribe or something, and that's how he became the wolf. I'm like, interesting. Everything explanation they had was just so good and made sense. So if you haven't checked it out, the original Penny Dreadful, like the second series, you can check it out. Only one season. It was involved over like Santa Maria. It was in Los Angeles in the 50s. And the building of a highway. It's up to you guys. It just got a little weird for me. And I was like, nah, I was out.
Definitely understand. Yeah. All right, guys. I know we brushed over a bunch of it, but these are our favorite ones. Yeah, obviously, we missed like, the X-Files. We missed the Tales from the Crypt and all of those.
Winona Earp.
Yeah. I actually had Swamp Thing on my list for you. I was gonna break your heart tonight. Which, by the way, folks, Jeff is rubbing his eyes right now when I bring that up. I even had Constantine on here. But there are so many great ones. like I said, Jeff and I are huge anthology fans, which I'm surprised. I was kind of like leaving that for him, but I'm surprised we didn't hit, like I said, Tales from the Crypt or the, you know, Twilight Zone with the Originator. But yeah, I mean, we had a bunch. But if there's anybody that's in, yeah, I was expecting that was the one that surprises me that you didn't throw up there first.
it's strange. I was talking to a friend of mine today. She's like, "Did you know there's a new season of Black Mirror?" I'm like, "Really?" Like, shit. No, I didn't. But yeah, I should have thought of Black Mirror. Like, and there's any of the other ones we had too.
And there are a lot of great miniseries out there as well. If anybody's interested, like I think the one that you and I loved, not recently, God, it's got to be 5 years now. On Netflix was the Dracula, the 3-part miniseries.
I had it on my list, the Dracula from the BBC.
I had that too, but I'm like, that's a miniseries, not a series. So I pulled I had a couple like that. I'm like, let me pull those out.
Do the miniseries, definitely. I love that. I love it. I think it was like 3 episodes, but like they were like an hour and 40 minutes each. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Actually, I recently rewatched those. So again, guys, so many out there. And if you really need your fix, I know Shudder's out there. Shudder's got some great series out there. So if you're really in your need for your fix, that's one of the best places to go.
Shudder, Tubi, check them all out.
So next week, what was it, villains we were going to do? Or our favorite?
I think we're going to do villains because movies is going to be a harder list. So I need a little bit more time with that one. So, we'll do switcheroo, do villains. Horror characters.
Horror characters. Yeah. So yeah. Well. So we'll get there. And like I said, we are planning on doing a movie watch along. Probably a horror. Definitely a horror movie this month. Our original idea. I'm having issues tracking down the movie because it was a twist on a movie. If anybody is out there, if you guys are looking for anything, I think it is on Tubi. The Saturday Morning Mystery or Saturday Morning Massacre, depending on how you look it up. Basically it's a real life Scooby-Doo. The kids are looking for a murder and things happen. Shenanigans bust out.
Yeah. Shenanigans. Points. Yeah,
but if anybody's got any ideas, check us out on Facebook and throw a suggestion or something you guys might be interested in. We are again, like I said, on Facebook and we are back on there. I know Jeff's been posting his happy little heart out there.
Of course, I got to keep the community alive and keep it growing. So hopefully I can do that for you guys. And like I said, any suggestions that you have for a movie or whatnot or a list that you want to do or hear, hey, hit us up there. You can DM us. It's always open. And I'm going to open some other stuff, too, on the social media platforms. I think I have to get back on Instagram. But like I say, it's a slow process. We'll get there.
All right, guys. Make sure to check us out and like the show if you can. All right. We'll see you later.
See you.